Well, amen. Appreciate the song. Thank you so much. Take your Bibles and look, if you would, to the book of Proverbs. The book of Proverbs this morning. Proverbs chapter 17. I certainly hope and pray that it's a great day for dads. Remember, have a good day today. Relax, enjoy yourself. We'll get back tonight, and after worship, we'll go bowling and have a good time in the Lord. And so you men get together and let's have a good time. There is a couple things that I want to try to cover today. And so be patient with me. I want to try to get us out of here certainly on time. I must with our buses. But I think that there'll be an explanation needed for some of the scripture that'll be read. And so I think it'd be needful for me to explain some of this. Now, if you found Proverbs chapter 17, verse 6, stand for the reading of the Word of God. Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 6, the Bible says, "Children's children are the crown of old men, and the glory of children are their fathers." Heavenly Father, we thank you, and we are so grateful for the worship this morning. And especially today, we want to focus on dads. And help us to be great dads. Help us to be dads that you would be proud of. And certainly our children would be proud of. Now you bless this worship service, for in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. It's difficult to say, but it's a truth, and there are millions of children today that have no glory. It's not something that we're proud of, and I really don't want to spend a lot of time on it, because I'm grateful for the dad that I had. I'm grateful for the home that I had. No, it wasn't perfect. But there were some things that my dad taught me that I hold dear today. I think of great dads, and I think of dads that recognize that it is important that their children be proud of them. It is important that their children look to them and have a heart to want to share their dad with others. I'm reminded of the General MacArthur. Here is what he quote about dads. He said, "When I am gone, I do not want to be remembered as a great general. I want to be remembered as a Christian father who read the Bible and prayed with his children." I don't know about you, but that's a hero to me. Even though in history we know for a fact he was a great general, but his greatest concern was to be a great dad. Something I think is almost forgotten. Something that is rare. I want to share with you this morning, fathers, the glory of children. It's exactly what the text tells us. We know that great grandchildren or even grandchildren are a crown to old men. And it's okay to be called an old man when you have great grandchildren. But the Bible teaches that children get their glory, their excitement, their praise, their joy from their fathers, to be proud of their dads, to be able to look back when they're grown and remember the moments and the times that dad took with them and what God or what fathers had instilled in them. We only have them for a short time, and then they're grown. Cherish the moments. Take captive those times and those moments that you have, and let nothing get between you and your children. To begin with, let me give you the first point I'm going to cover this morning, and I'm going to be in another scripture in a moment, if time allows. Number one, my conviction is that fathers, and I believe the Bible teaches it, and I'll bring that together with this great nation in a moment, but fathers should be Christians. Fathers should be Christians. Children should know And I believe this. Children should know that their father is a Christian. Not because he goes to church. Not because he carries a Bible. Not because he goes to Bible school. But because of his behavior. Children should know their father is a Christian because of his behavior. I can give you stories that are ugly stories of dads who declared to be Christians, but their behavior was the total opposite. But I think we all have some of those stories ourselves, and we're familiar with them. But I believe that as fathers should be Christians, here's the first thing that you and I need to know about that. First of all, fathers should have a Bible-based conviction. A Bible-based conviction. Let me tell you a little bit about what I was taught growing up. I'm glad for many reasons that Dad taught me these things. Number one, Dad taught me to say yes, sir, and no, sir. Dad taught me to say no, ma'am, or yes, ma'am. Dad taught me to respect my mother in the home. I'm glad that my dad taught me these simple things. I'm glad that Dad even taught me that when I entered into a building or a home, take off my hat. I'm glad that Dad taught me these simple things. They mean a lot to me. I'm glad that there was convictions. He taught me to never steal. He had strong convictions about never stealing. And he instilled in me these things, these issues of life. And they were biblical. They were in accordance with the Bible. I'm glad that Dad told me, stay away from liquor and drugs. There's no amen. Back me up on this. I live in a time where booze and dope is okay, even among Christians. I need some hearty amens. That liquor and booze and marijuana and drugs do not belong in the home. Get rid of it. Thank you, men, for supporting me. Fathers should have a Bible, biblical-based convictions. Number two, fathers should live clean. They should live clean lives. Let me give you a story. It's found in 1 Samuel chapter 4. You can turn there if you like, but in 1 Samuel chapter 4, verse 21 and on, you're going to find, here's the story. Eli is the high priest. Samuel is being brought up. Samuel's the writer of the book. Samuel is being brought up in the home of Eli. Remember, he was given by his mother as a babe and as promised. The Bible tells us that Eli's two boys are out in the battle and they die. The Philistines kill them both. The Bible tells us that Eli hears of this word, and because he was a big man, he fell over and broke his neck. Eli was not the greatest of fathers, but even not being a great father, he still loved his children. And he heard that his boys both had died. Well, one of the boys was married, and he had a wife expecting. And because of the news, it caused the child to be born. And she named the boy Ichabod. Now, you're probably thinking, that's a terrible name. Well, you bet. The name means, for the glory of the Lord has left. It has departed. And it's interesting because the reason she named him that is not because of the father, but because of the Ark of the Covenant was stolen by the Philistines. Now let me draw that picture, if you would. The Ark represented the presence of God in the nation and in the Jewish nation with the Jewish people. But here's what happened. The Ark was taken. The glory of God had disappeared from the nation. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. I'm convinced that the reason why the glory of the Father is found with the children find their glory in their father is because their fathers are are people that are saved men, and that saved men bring about saved people in a nation, and it brings glory in that nation. We have a great nation, do we not? In a few weeks, I'll be preaching on a message how great our nation is. And God forbid that God's glory leave this nation. But it's going to take men, people of God, to rise up and to rear children that their children will look to the Father and find glory in their Father. Not that they have to hunt down their Father. Not that they don't even know where their Father's at. Not that their Father be in prison. Not that their Father be a deadbeat or a drunken or someone that has stolen or a thief. But they be a wholesome, whole Christian. We need fathers who should live clean lives. The glory, she named the child Ichabod because the glory had departed. When we look upon this nation, we should see clean fathers. Number one, fathers should be Christians. But number two, children glory in the leadership of their father. Are you listening? Children glory in the leadership of their father. It's no accident that Christ, that God himself would establish the home in the way he did. If you study Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, the Bible says that Joshua rises up. And now I want everybody to listen to me. I'm not bashing women. In fact, I married a woman. I told my Sunday school class the same thing. Amen? Aren't you glad I married a woman? Praise God for that. Amen? Well, in Joshua, you'll find that Joshua stands to his feet and he proclaims his commitment to the Lord, and that he declared, and here's what he said, not only his commitment, but he declared in that statement his whole household. He had determined and made the decision of himself that he and his whole household would serve the Lord, that Jehovah God would be their God. Children glory, find joy, find happiness, security, peace, and a sense of power in the leadership of fathers. So I encourage dads to take the leadership. You know, I learned this a long time ago, and I had a teacher. Actually, he was the president. He intimidates me, and most of y'all know Rick Adams. I call him Dr. Adams or Brother Adams. And he told me a long time ago, he said, listen, you read that there in Joshua, and if you go to the book of Acts, you'll find that Paul said, take the oversight. Now, he's talking to pastors, and they've gathered around Paul to pray. And they're at Ephesus. And Paul's getting ready to leave them. And that great apostle says, take the oversight. That means as an overseer, as a pastor, take it. Now, I always wondered, and I asked him, I said, Brother Adams, why does he say, take it? He says, because if you don't, somebody else will. And often across America today, there are many women that have to take the leadership of the home because dads won't. It isn't because most women want to run the household. It's because they have to. Because the men just won't. They're too busy with everything else in life. Work, entertainment, or just simply not interested. But let me encourage you, men, and thank God for the men in our church. Amen. I just like keeping it simple. Listen, there's no reason to try to paint a pretty picture. I just like to put it right out there, and I thank God for the men in our church. Listen, a real leader that children will enjoy is a leader that will lift his family, who will love his family, who will sacrificially protect and provide for his family. You know, Jesus taught in the book of Ephesus. Paul wrote this and he said, love your wife even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. So you know what that means, man? And can I tell you, here's how it starts in the little things. And I never could understand it, but it's big now. And now I understand it. God's in the little things. You know that, don't you? I would go to work. When my wife and I first got married, we did not have much at all. Very little. We finally got out on our own. It was a one-room trailer. That's all we had. We were proud of it because it was ours. We were renting it. You remember? We went by there about 2 years ago, didn't we? We went by there about 2 years ago. And we ended up, the child, little Rosie, slept in a drawer beside us. It was tiny. We had saved up for 6 months or better baby food. And every cabinet you could find had baby food in it. Let me encourage you. It don't last very long. And the best thing you can do is get that youngin' at the table. That's all I can tell you. Well, I remember so much those days. And I remember I would go to work. My dad would pick me up because my car was broke. Took 2 years to fix it. It was parked for 2 years to save up the money to fix it. I would get picked up by my dad almost an hour early. And I would sit out in front of the lock gate where I worked and wait till it was time to go to work. He had to drop me off early so he could go to work. And he would pick me up late. Well, I will never forget there were opportunities that I had a candy bar. Just a candy bar, nothing big. And I would cut that candy bar in half and save half of that candy bar. Or I would hold the candy bar all day and then we'd share it when we got home. And you know, I used to think about, now listen, imagine this. You have one sandwich, no bag of chips, and water, and you work all day and you save the candy bar. Now to most folk, that's not much, but to Baptists, that's big. And I know that seems so simple, but when I sit in council and I hear how some of these men are and how selfish they can be, and to even speak of such a story would make them laugh. But I'm not talking about a little candy bar. How dads have sacrificed their own children to have their own pleasures. I guess that's why I'm so stuck on this church. You guys are real. We make mistakes, don't we? But we love our family and we love our children. And dads, what I'm trying to tell you today is be the kind of leader that's out front. Be the kind of leader that you can tell your wife, climb in my back pocket, I will take care of you. I will protect you. I care about you. You and the children are important to me, and not just talk. But you know what I'm finding? A lot of dads that are spending money that their kids need on junk. And I'll just call it junk. Because it could be entertainment, it can be drugs, it can be beer, it can be women, but I just call it junk. And they're sneaking behind their family and thinking they're getting away with it, when in real reality, their children one day will look back and have no glory in their father. I hope that my daughter can say, I'm proud of my dad. I love my dad. No, he's not perfect. There's no dad perfect, amen, except the Heavenly Father. But I want my child to glory in her daddy. I want her to be able to look back and say, you know, he sacrificed a lot for me. He cared about me. He loved me. He put me before his own self. Children glory in their father's leadership. And then number three, children glory in the love of their father. Children need to see. And listen, the Bible teaches that we are to love one another. But it goes beyond that. Men are to love their wives. Amen? And they are to love the Lord. Children need to see that love in their father. A sacrificial love. Not a love that just talks, but a love that walks that talk. A love, listen to me, a love that's committed. A love that's committed. Children are suffering today because they have no glory in their father because of many reasons. But it is, listen, it is important that we dads show in our lives that we love our children. That we love our children. Now, can I tell you some biblical steps in loving your children? If you love your child, you'll make sure they have clothing. Can I let you in a little secret? Maybe not the high-styled clothing. Maybe not all the time. They need shelter. You know, you think, well, preacher, why should you preach about that? I wish you wouldn't have to. But you know, if you read the Bible preaches about it and teaches. Paul said, if no man will provide for his own household, he's worse than an infidel. He's worse, he's a Christian, but he's worse than a heathen. So dads ought to provide a home. Dads, work! Amen? Work! It's healthy for you. Johnny's been out here learning what it is all about heat. Amen? And we're easy on you, aren't we, Johnny? He'll get out there and he's been here all week long working. And somebody stepped up and going to give him a little extra money each day for working. And he's worked something out. And so what he's got is he'll get out there in that heat and you can tell he's hot. And he's drinking more fluid than he's done probably the whole school year. But I want you to know something. It's good for him. It's good for him. The Bible teaches that we need to love and we need to show love, and love is commitment. And can I tell you something else what love does? Love takes hold. Now, dads, if you don't get anything else out of this message, get this. A long time ago, I took hold of my daughter. Now, here's what I mean. My whole person, my whole being took hold of my daughter. Again, I can tell you exactly when it happened. We were fishing. I love fishing. I don't never get to do it, but I love to fish. Actually, I'll be honest with you what I like to do. I like to take the fish off of my wife's fishing pole hook. I just love doing that. I can, in between, I'll read a book, and when she catches a fish, and there's sometimes I say, I can't even read this book. But I love it. I just love it. I love the joy of that. But I remember we were fishing with Grady. Now, he's dead now, but Grady, and he's the one that got me hooked on fishing. He got me, showed me how to cast net. He did all that kind of stuff, and so we were out fishing, and my daughter was on the boat, and I had caught a fish. And for some reason, I threw that fish over to the boat, remember? And it went flying, and I know this sounds weird, but it hit the top of the boat and stuck in the top of the canopy. And that's when I realized that I could have seriously hurt my daughter throwing that fish. And my love for her just took off. Now, here's where I want to go with it. I took hold of her. That's what love does. But love doesn't just take hold. Love holds on. So that in the valleys and in the bad times, when things are not what they should be, I've made a commitment. It's already settled. And young people, listen. Listen to me. The commitments you've made to the Lord and the promises you've made to Him and the promises you've made to your family, hold on to them. You already have your plan. Stay committed to it. When I took hold of my daughter's love, I made a commitment then that I'd never let go of it. Even when she disappoints me, even when things don't go the way I had planned, I will never let her go. Tell you what that can do. That can cause your child to glory in you. Your child will glory in you when you teach them, even love them in the toughest times. Let me end with this one. I'm almost done. Children glory in the loyalty of their father. They glory also, not just in leadership, but also in loyalty. Fathers need to be loyal to Christ. See, that's what makes it work. I'll be honest with you, the first 5 years of my marriage, if it wasn't for my wife, we wouldn't have had a marriage. But when she came to know the Lord, and later when I came to know the Lord, then I understood what marriage really was. See, that's sometimes why I can't understand why marriages are the way they are in Christians today. See, because for 5 years I was lost and without Christ. And my marriage was a wreck. And then come to know Christ, how marriage has totally, drastically changed in my life. I became loyal to Christ. It was just a way of life. And then the Bible became alive and it taught me how to be a daddy. It taught me how to be a spiritual man. It taught me that it was more than just providing, like I spoke of earlier. It was more than just protecting. But now I understood there was more to life than just all the physical I could see. My daughter needed to know Christ, and she needed to see Christ in me, so that she would have a spiritual daddy and that we would have a spiritual home. That she would see, and here's how it all came to be. I came loyal to Christ. I put Him first in my life. And when I did, He changed me radically. Number two, I became loyal to my family. Truly loyal, not just in words, but I became truly loyal to Christ, to my family, and then to my church. Do you know God's got an order in everything He's created? And by the way, if we follow that order, things run a lot smoother. Do you know, and I know most of you know this, but you know God's got an order for the family. Christ, amen? Christ, the head of the family. And then dad, the head of the home. Amen. And then wife, submitting right alongside him. You say, well, wait a minute, submitting. Do you know society has made that word ugly? That word is not ugly. You know that, don't you? In fact, there's beauty in that. You know what that means? It means just falling in rank. It makes things work. It makes things happen. Could you imagine in any of our military services if there was no submitting and there was no ranking? What would we have? Chaos. That's what we've got in homes. But I don't think it's always the problem with submitting. I think it's with the headship. Let me tell you a story. This was a preacher. This happened years ago. This preacher had two boys, and they found this dog. Now, the funny thing with this dog, it was a black dog, but on the tail of the dog, it had a bunch of white hair. No real pattern, just mixed white hair in the tail. Well, one of the neighbors had contacted the preacher asking, because he had heard that his dog was at their place. Well, the preacher wanted the dog. So he blackened all the hairs on the dog's tail, and the two boys helped him. Later in life, that small incident is what changed radically in their home for his boys. If you can lie, Dad, so can we. True story. See, it don't have to be big stuff. It can be little stuff. I guess once again, that's what draws me to you men. You do what's right, no matter what it costs. Do what's right. Let me encourage you, dads. Live a life as a dad that your children can glory in you. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, Lord, thank you for your word. My prayer today, Lord, has been to just encourage. I know that with that comes truth. We can't hide that. We can't be like ostriches and put our head in the sand. God, we've got to be real about this. It may seem overwhelming when we look around within our church, within our community, our country, and we see there is a serious, serious problem with dads. My prayer is this, that it will, number one, not discourage the dads here today. And then number two, that possibly if there is a dad today, that he knows there are some changes he must make so that his children can glory in him. I pray that today, from his heart, he will step out. And he'll make that commitment to you and recognize that if other dads are going to learn this and know this, then I must set the example. And that if my boy is to grow up to be a good dad, then may I set the example. Right now, for I pray it in Jesus' name.